Good evening, KQRIW, and most likely KQKEY here, to begin the TechNet. For those who haven't heard the TechNet, its major purpose is education, a little bit of entertainment sometimes sneaks in. A person signs into the TechNet by giving Mel and Dick your call letters, your name, and a confirming yes, which means you do have a question or a comment for the net. So do we have any check-ins? Please give me your call letters and name at this time. K2RIW.
And who are you with a comment for the net?
Good evening, K2K.
N2NB, no comments at the moment. Good evening.
So far we get Rich, Mel, and Barry. Notice they all gave us their names. So there are three people that are not watching the Super Bowl. Anyone else? Check it, give me your call letters and name at this time.
A6DPZ and no comment at the moment.
WS2N, Paul. Good evening, Dick.
Okay. We got Hal and Paul. Anyone else?
Number two Oscar off the mic, Bob.
Okay, we got Bob. Anyone with to check in with a question or a comment, give me a call letters right now. Okay, maybe the Super Bowl is going to take away a lot of our people tonight. Rich, you're number one on the runway. Take your time. N2EO, K2RIW.
Okay, Dick, good evening. K2RIW, NY Mark, N2EO. Just wanted to make a comment about Windows Vista. I bought the Vista operating system. It's okay, but I would say playing with it now about a week. If you've got a late version of Windows XP, such as 2005 Multimedia, I would not go for Vista. It's pretty good. Most of the stuff operates under it. A couple of utilities don't work under it. Most everything I have does run under it. But I'm not particularly impressed or convinced that it's much better than XP. So I just wanted to make this comment to the net, Dick, and to EO.
Now
that we have
to take an hour, we're going to get out of this without giving up any more points. Great, Brian Rich. Getting my computer to boot up here. So, would you, so far, recommend, you probably already said that, but to give us some good news and some not so good news, would you recommend a person make the investment or hang on to what he's already got?
I would say if you have a good late version of Windows XP, like Windows 2005 version of XP, which is the multimedia edition, or a late version of XP that's been updated, I would stick with it. If you buy a new computer, you're probably going to get Vista. Probably could use it. But I went out and bought Vista, and I don't know if I was disappointed or just not impressed. I would say it's as good as XP. This thing about the wow starts here, I don't agree with that at all. It's okay. It's not like when you went from X98 to XP, where none of your stuff ran. Most everything will run under it. And what won't run is Windows System Works. Norton System Works won't run under it. I mean, Norton antivirus, Norton Internet Security will run, but you have to download a file from Symantec, and it runs as long as you get the 2007 version. But things like SystemWorks runs, my programs like SpySpeaker that I have runs. Oddly enough, EchoLink works perfectly with Vista. That's good to know. Most everything I have works with it, that's the good news. But I'm not particularly convinced it's much better than XP. Back to you, Dick.
Very fine, Rich. I should know, but I don't know. If I already have XP 2005 and I invest in Vista, how many dollars am I leaving on the line?
For the full version, $239. If you want the upgrade, it's about $100.50.
Okay, by my standards, that's a fair amount of bread. I can buy a pretty good handy talkie on the flea market for those kind of monies. And so, what's the major leap forward that Vista gives you? You may have said it, maybe I didn't catch it. What do I really get that I wouldn't have without it, Rich?
That's what I'm trying to say. I haven't found that, maybe I just haven't dug deep enough, but I haven't found that Vista does any more than XP. They say it has some, it fixed some vulnerabilities as far as hackers and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm scratching my own head. I really don't know what the big deal is about it. I bought it. I like to be at the cutting edge. I'm not impressed. I mean, I'm not unhappy. It's just that I don't see it when they say the world starts here. I don't see it. I don't see any big leap forward over XP.
MLF. MLF recognized. I'm going to go back to you in a second. I got another question for Rich, and that is, do they make a claim that it has X amount of decrease in vulnerability to viruses, it better handles spam, anything that I don't like that I've got right now? Do they make a specific claim, say that this is going to be the cure? Back to you, Rich.
No, supposedly they said they fixed some vulnerabilities in ActiveX and some other areas of the machine where hackers could get into. Probably you could do the same thing with some utilities to protect yourself. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe FLF has some input on it. Like I say, I'm glad to know that Echo Link, at least the latest version, runs perfectly under Vista. So that's something that would interest the ham community. But, you know, these commercials, the wow starts here, I just don't see it. A little bit, I'm mostly disappointed, but if I had it to do all over again, I'd probably stay with XP and Celio.
Okay, thank you for that information, Rich. Mr. FLF, please give us your full call and your name, and then proceed with whatever you'd like to tell us, sir.
Check in.
Hey, yeah, wait for the beep. Beep. Nancy 2, Fox, me with Fox. Name is Mark. Love it, Tom. And yes. heard from my one of my computer gurus down south that apparently Bill Gates decided you cannot make any copies of DVDs or CDs with Vista. If you try to prevent you from doing it. From what he's telling me, it's not compatible with a lot of software that's out there right now, and it requires apparently all kinds of hardware and new graphic nonsenses and a lot of memory and yada yada yada, and it's probably loaded with a ton of bugs. So that's just my friend's opinion, who's down south, but like I said, he's pretty good with this stuff, and that's all I got to say on this topic. And to FLF, Rich, Dick,
very fine, Mark, and thank you. Who is the other person who wanted to make a comment? I didn't catch her. Well, someone else was checking in. Who was checking in?
N2KDM.
Okay, yeah. MWA, Bob, and Mr. KDF. We'll get your call letters later. Of all the people who checked in, did I miss anyone who gave me a yes, other than Rich and Rich and Mark? Is anyone else who wants to make a comment or has a question? Repeat your call letters to me right now.
KQ2MWA with a question.
Very fine. Bob, your audio is extremely low. I'm wearing earphones, so I'm hearing you very well. So eat the microphone or turn up the gain if you possibly can. You got it, Bob.
Okay, Dick, I have a question about
about Radio, and I got some sort of a problem with the radio. I'm getting motorboating out of my speaker.
Okay, you sounded good that time. You got to eat the mic. Your audio is very low, but you sound good, so proceed as if it's working like a charm.
Okay, amongst my many questions on Radio are whether or not it can be used with single sideband. Also found out that my radio apparently has a RIDI generator built into it, but it requires digital data out of my computer to do it, and I'm trying to use the sound card interface.
Okay, now, the way single sideband works is that you could say it transmits the transition, but does not transmit the steady state portion of a signal. I vaguely remember in Radio Amateur's handbook or in the special techniques handbook of ARRL, they showed you what happens when the square waves of radio teletype is sent through a single sideband transmitter. What comes out is a bunch of spikes, and the real energy there is near zero. So there probably are ways of shifting tones and doing things like this to make a modification of radio teletype and send it to a single sideband receiver, but raw, ordinary teletype and sideband, I think, are somewhat incompatible. Maybe there are people out there with a lot more smarts than me in this subject, and if so, please come forward right now and give us your call letters. Bob wants to know, can you take a radio teletype system and simply connect it to a sideband transceiver? K2LIW in the tech center.
K2KY.
Go ahead, Mel. Tell us how to do it.
Well, first of all, in operating RIDI, is going to be basically in AM operation because it's going to have a continuous carrier. So the radio has to be able to handle AM operation at the power level because it's got to be, you know, a lot of radios and strictly single sideband radios. So, if you want to run it as an external, in other words, I think what he wants to do is use a modem, an external modem, to run RPTY in single sideband. But I believe, yeah, with that, you have to put it in AM position, Dick, over.
Kilo Delta 2, Bravo Delta.
Kilo Delta 2, Bravo Delta. I started with your name, sir, and tell us what you know on the subject.
Good evening, Dick, K2RAW in the TechNet from KD2BD. Name is John. I'm going to take a real good guess here, and that the sound card and the computer will be producing audio frequency shift keying, and putting that into a sideband transmitter will produce frequency shift keying, which is the desired result of it.
There's a problem here. Audio with frequency shift keying, that's modified radio teletype. And now you're using the sideband transmitter essentially keyed down. In other words, you're transmitting mark tone and a space tone. The transmitter is continuously transmitting. Sideband is intended by way of its power supply, the dissipation of the final tube or whatever. It's supposed to be on the air for the much lower duty factor of human speech, which has got a 23 dB crest factor. Let me explain what crest factor means. In other words, if I take the peak power of speech and I record it, I take the average power of speech while you're talking and I record that, and I compare those two numbers to 23 decibels apart. That's before you use speech processing, which speech processing, you knock it down a whole lot of dB. But a sideband transmitter, which is designed and intended for transmitting human speech, will behave very differently when you give it continuous tones that are only shifting in frequency. In theory, you're overloading the power supply, overloading the final stage. Unless you cut back the drive a whole lot, you're using the rig in a way it wasn't intended. I imagine some of the Joe Taylor techniques also have a somewhat similar problem. Rich, I think, has got some comments on this. Go ahead, Rich.
K6DPZ with a comment.
We'll go Rich first and then Harold. You got it, Rich.
Okay, Dick, yeah, the gentleman is right. Some rigs, you got to back off the power, but you know, a lot of the new solid-state rigs are made to run continuous. At least continuous, say, for 10 minutes. They'll rate them continuous at full power up to 10 minutes. A lot of the new solid-state rigs can do that. When you put AFSK into a sideband transmitter, you come out with FSK. Can't tell the difference. Back to that.
Okay. It sounds like it can work, but you better back off, otherwise you might burn up a rig. It's a possibility. Then again, a well-made rig has got some extra beef in it, and it's not that delicate. Maybe I'm worrying unnecessarily. Harold, what do you think?
Well, I've done it with a KWM-2. You got to run it down to about 30% of its normal power, and you can get away with it, and it works very well, Nick. K6DPZ.
Okay. If a person didn't back down on the power, and he used a medium-quality sideband rig full blast, or even your KWM-1 full blast, and he put that kind of a radio teletype signal through there, what do you believe is the worst that could happen? Back to you, Harold.
Worst that's going to happen is going to wind up being repaired. It cannot take the 100% duty cycle.
Okay. You might burn up the final, you might burn up the power supply. Other than that, you'll be in pretty good shape. Is that what you say, Harold?
Yeah, basically, Dick. So drop it down to 30%, you can get away with it. You can run it pretty much as you want, but not at full power. The radios are not designed for it.
Okay, I think it was Bob who asked the original question. Bob, give us a few words as to what you got in mind and why you wanted to do it.
Okay, well, I've already built the interface for the sound card, and I'm just trying to find out some of the parameters. You know, you get into this stuff and sometimes you don't know everything you're supposed to. I had heard that you're supposed to run the power down to no more than 50% of what the transmitter is capable of. Instead of 100 watts, you have 50 out. It can be run on sideband, it's called audio, AFSK, audio frequency shift keying. The question I have was, you know, I may look at just sending a distance on RS-232 digital type signal over to the radio to see the built-in circuitry that the radio has for doing ridding, and Hal may know more about it. I'm running a 746 Pro now.
Bob, by the way, you're transmitting a beautiful carrier. You're dead full quieting, and you're 60/9 on the input at my shack. That's the good news. Your audio is 10% of normal. Very, very low audio. I've been hearing George W82WKV also sound very, very low in audio. Out of curiosity, do you and George own the exact same rig? You got to eat the mic. You got to shout. Bob, back to you for some comments on that.
Okay, I don't know what he has. I have a Yaesu FT5200, an oldie but a goodie. The original mic was even worse than this. I'm using, instead of using an electro head, I'm using a dynamic mic on it, which seems to give me a bit better audio than I did with the original electro head.
Okay, you just hit it. And I've been doing an experiment along the same lines. I want to use an a dynamic microphone instead of the Electret microphone that's supplied. The good news is it's got a lot flatter audio. The bad news is the audio is a hell of a lot lower. It needs some kind of a preamplifier. So very clean audio, nice carrier, but you need a lot more of it. Whereas George, when he first comes on the air, his audio sounds good. Within a minute or two, his audio is down to 10 dB, 15 dB lower than normal. So, and I'm starting to complain lately that many of these Electret microphones, as they get older, start becoming mushy. The one you're listening to right now, I know, doesn't have enough high-frequency response, and I'm running a speech processor. Here's what it would sound like without the speech processor. It sounds like I'm talking to a bale of cotton. So, audio is something that I'd like to take pride in, and I've got to do some work on my audio. Now, you did ask us a question. You made a comment before I changed the subject. Repeat it, Bob. What would you like? What
sound card and or going into the digital input and having the radio create the RDI chip. I don't know. This 746 Pro is different than the 746 in that icon built into RDI functions into the radio. And as I said, I knew Hal was out there. He's more familiar with the radio than I am. I think having services and knows what they're capable of. Back to that.
Okay, let's turn it over to Harold, to, or Hal, to give us the last word on all this. K6DPZ, you got the floor. K2RIW in the TechNet.
K2RIW in the TechNet, K6DPZ. I believe that it takes an AFSK input, Bob, to give you your FSK output on that radio, if I remember correctly, but I wouldn't swear to it without double-checking the data.
Any further questions on that, Bob?
No, maybe we'll get somebody else to stop by and have more information on that. Maybe if doesn't have at this point, for it, they may actually give ICOM a call and find out what they have to say. So we'll give it back to them. We'll move to the next subject.
Hey, Dick, WS2N.
Go ahead, Paul.
I was looking through my notes. I haven't run through pretty in many years, but he said he's used to it. I used to run it through lower sideband, so not really sure if he's trying to do that or through a sound. Yeah, right now I'm going to be running with a sound card interface, what I built, so that's what would... okay. You know, I ran it both on, well, I have the FSK on here, I ran it through that, but then most of the contacts, I just ran it through lower sideband. So, okay, well, I don't know, sound cards go work fine for PSK31, so I don't see why that would work. Back to you.
That's me, like, it's one of these situations, Bob, where you've got enough information just to go do it. I don't think anything bad's going to happen. I'd like to believe a rig as modern as a 746 has all kinds of self-protect built in, all kinds of over-temp detect and whatever. As such, I don't think you're going to damage anything. Go do it. Let's see, there's one last call. Is there anyone else that wants to give suggestions as to connecting the sound card, radio teletype, and 746 Pro together? I'm going to take it on radio teletype. Anyone with any further suggestions for Bob? Give us your call letters right now. Okay, Harold, recognize. Was there another person? Looks like it's you, Harold. Go right ahead.
Okay, Bob, I could use the Vox as long as it's AFSK as the sideband mode, and you automatically key the rig when you have the teletype for ready signal go out.
Yeah, this is a curious thing. You're in the ready mode and
just go Vox SSB, Bob.
Okay. As they say, Harold, try it, you like it. You gotta remember with that particular mic, you gotta shout into it. Or you and I both gotta build a preamp and maybe one of these equalizer networks. We can boost the highs and the lows and make our voice sound reasonable. I know that Ed
not there, so we're sort of on hold on that. And a little setback, I blew up a couple of radios in the meantime. Weird problem, but that's just a minor setback, so I'll get that going. But at the moment, we're sort of on hold with that. Hopefully by the middle of the week, we should have made some progress with that. Dish, over.
Okay, the guys who can burn up some radios, where I'm not going to have it too much sympathy with you, because you know how to repair them. So I'm pretty sure that when he says burn up a radio, it means he blew up the final stage or a diode in the power supply. And so that's probably going to set him back a whole half hour to fix that. It may take him a little bit longer to buy the final stage. By the way, MWA, when you talk to Ike in Beaverton, Oregon, and you get to the right person in the engineering department or the repair department, a few times that I've talked to them, I find them extremely helpful people when it comes to hand-holding the amateur. There ain't no better company than what I can tell. And a couple of the conditions I've put in parts for an old rig, like an IC-280, which, came out in 1984, some year like that. And 15 years later, I needed these parts for one. And they simply mailed me the parts and billed me, assuming that I'd be honest enough to pay them after the stuff was already in my hand. So they do a beautiful job along the line. But if you get to the right engineering guy over there, and I think it's a toll-free number besides, guaranteed they'll give you a dump out of information that'll tell you almost everything you want to know. So,
let's see what's doing.